Welcome to Geekig Bizarre Show, episode 59. It's a Monday, August 7th, 2017. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome, everyone. And this is a show where we talk about gay stories, geek topics, and bizarre news.
Shit.
Or bizarre shit, whichever. Before we go on, Ray, how are you, Ray?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Maynard?
Great, great. And you're happy now that your car is okay?
I got my car back. Now all I got to do is get the window tinted and I'm set.
That's
I'm
awesome. Good.
My car is fixed. Baby is back.
The baby is back. So. Yeah, good for you. So, but this weekend was kind of a low key, but in a way, you shanghaied me into watching Hairspray.
How did I shanghai you? I messaged you and said, "What are you doing Saturday night?" You said nothing. I said, "All right, good. You got plans.
You got plans now." Oh, okay. Yeah,
so,
but that's okay.
Not like you had anything else to do.
Yeah,
Mike
wasn't
in town.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, so yeah, last weekend, Ray and a couple of friends, Julio and the others, we went to watch Hairspray.
The concert.
The concert. Not the musical.
The concert. And the concert is where they just sing songs from the musical.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was done by MCC Resurrection, mm-hmm. and it's very good. And a friend of ours,
Clay.
He played Edna Turnblad.
Played Edna Turnblad.
Blad. So, which is very good. I was, you know, so it was very good for a church production of it. So.
Yeah. It's camp, you know. It's camp drag. The girls singing like guys singing like girls, and yeah.
I will say this: that number they did about "I Know Where I've Been."
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God!
Don't be the which one is that?
The black one at the end of the first half.
Oh yeah, okay.
where Motormouth Mabel sings about "I Know Where I've Been," and it was pretty intense.
She was I wish I could have talked to her, but everybody was hogging her on the way out. So
her real name's Cassandra, and she's been at that church forever. And she's also part of, I think she heads up the gospel choir there. But
I mean, her voice is just, her voice is beautiful. God, angelic.
She, it was just like, that was the best part of the whole show.
Oh, to me, yeah. It was too.
The big thing that she did. So,
you know, it's like Whitney Houston live again.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Anyway, so last weekend, what else did we do? That was Saturday, right?
That was Saturday. And then Sunday, we also went and saw Atomic Blonde.
We saw Atomic Blonde.
Or finished watching Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, and finished because we watched it like halfway last week, something like that. But yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it. And it's a little confusing at first. And then, so that's what happened.
Yeah.
And there was...
I was happy up until like the last minute of it. And
because...
I was like, that's a cop-out.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's what you thought. So I was watching it, and oh my God, there's hot lesbian action in the middle. Oh my God, I can't believe. I've never seen. I've seen Charlize Theron in Monster. You see me that before? She was a lesbian there.
Yeah. Well, that was her first big breakout movie.
Oh yeah, that's where she really was. She won. She won an award in that one. Oscars, I think, something like that. It was pretty good. Anyway, okay, so that's pretty much. Oh, I saw Apocalypse Now last weekend for the first time. I believe it's the first time because, you know, it's not really big in the Philippines back then. But I know it's a 1960-plus movie.
It came out in the 70s.
In
it
the
was
70s?
Made after the Vietnam War.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right after the Vietnam War. But my goodness, I'm just looking at Martin Sheen. Oh, my God, that's like Emilio Estevez right there.
Yeah, it looks very much.
Yeah. And then the story was okay. It was kind of weird. There's a lot of, they could have just removed all the fluff in the middle and just go straight to Marlon Brando, but anyway, it worked.
It worked. That was a great movie.
Was he supposed to be worshipped? Because it looks like they were worshipping the character of Marlon Brando.
I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I can't remember exactly how all that went down. Yeah. I think he had just amassed a bunch of power and had people doing his bidding, whatever he wanted to do. So
yeah. Okay, so
I don't know. I'm talking into the mic.
Yeah, but it's too low. Oh, something like that. Pointed at you. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay, so what about you? What else did you do last week?
That was it. Okay. I wonder. Well, I did go to restaurant. Well, it's called Restaurant Week, but it actually lasts a whole month here in Houston. Mm-hmm. And you can go to the Houston Food Bank and search for Houston Restaurant Week. And there is all these restaurants that you can go to and either eat lunch, brunch, or dinner at for a set price and a set menu. So you can check out some of the restaurants you usually can't afford to go to in Houston. And there's some that you can't afford to go to, but they do this special deal for them to raise money for the Houston Food Bank.
Oh, okay. Next time.
But like we went to Lorenzo's, which is very good. So Lorenzo's is kind of a pricey place to go to.
Should have told me about that. Where was I? Was I out of town?
Or? I was told not to ask you.
Oh, okay. Really? Yes. Oh, wow. Okay. Highbrow. Okay, so I guess we can go to our stories now. We got a couple of stories for you guys. Right, you I hope you guys enjoy. I'm going to take the gay because this really pissed me off because, you know, I have friends who are on PrEP. Okay, here we go. United Healthcare denies gay man medication due to high risk of homosexual behavior. It's medication, but it's preventive. It's PrEP. Okay, so discrimination against LGBT people is often, once removed, shielded under doublespeak and fraudulent intentions. So it's refreshing, really, when a company comes right out and says in black and white that gay men aren't worthy of the same protections as everyone else. In a pre-authorization denial letter to a gay patient seeking Truvada as PrEP, United Healthcare cited high-risk homosexual behavior as their reason for denying his claim. Seriously, why? It's just weird. Because we all know PrEP is meant for people who are, and you know, not at risk of HIV infection. It's preventive.
And it's supposed to help them from being HIV infected.
Yeah. So that's not all. The letter from the United Healthcare refers to their criteria for authorization among them to reduce the risk of sexually acquired HIV-1 infection in adults at high risk, so adults at high risks are okay. Homosexual behavior crosses the line. What? So that's the point, though. It refers to criteria to reduce the risk of sexual acquired, mm-hmm. but then it's just contradictory.
Yeah.
So anyway, the patient denial letter makes the obscene disconnect pretty clear. James Krellenstein, a member of ACT UP New York City, and one of my, what is the article? HIV advocates to watch in 2015, who once convinced the FDA to approve the Allier rapid HIV test, was absolutely livid when he posted a redacted version of the United Healthcare letter on social media this week. He was no less incensed in our interview. This is a direct attack on the rights of our community to have access to healthcare, James said. It is preventing people from protecting themselves from HIV infection. This is unacceptable. You can't discriminate against gay patients. You can't endanger patients' welfare because of your homophobia. You can. The commissioner can rule they are discriminating, said James. If he finds they are discriminating, they can pull them from the health insurance market. He has the authority to do anything. We want United Healthcare to disclose to the commissioner, how many people have been denied for similar reasons, and an assurance that this conduct will cease immediately. So the fact that Truvada for PrEP requires pre-authorization process at all is ludicrous. They could change this tomorrow, said James. It is an extra hurdle to get the drug, including filling out forms that ask questions about sexual behavior and then go through another level of bureaucracy. So yeah, just to cut it short, I read this article before, and it's really sad that the person initially got denied mm-hmm. of acquiring PrEP, which is supposed to be preventive preventive measure from getting HIV, but they are denying him, and they're saying that people should. United Healthcare says that people should, reduce the sexually transmitted disease or HIV infection. But this is it. That's what PrEP does.
Yeah.
So it may be something who did not understand. It could have been an automated system that flagged this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure with all this media that coming up, all the flack that they're getting, they're probably just, denial will be
And if you live in New York State and want to sign the petition, you can go to LGBTQNation.com and search for the United Healthcare Denies Gay Man Medication. And you can, there's a link where you can sign the petition if you live in New York. So you can get the commissioner to talk to United Healthcare. And since New York is pretty much a Democratic state, that might be pretty quick to happen.
Okay. Let's hope it happens. Yeah. All right. What is this geek stuff we have here, Ray?
All right, the geek. Pod races. We got pod races finally.
Oh, God.
A pod races through the Hyperloop for the first time ever. The future sounds a bit like a witch crying over a dead cat. That spooky wail is the sound Hyperloop makes, at least the version of high-speed transportation system designed by Hyperloop One, which just took a big stride towards the day it flings you between cities in a near vacuum tubes. The Los Angeles company, leading the race to fulfill Elon's must dream of tubular transit, tested its pod for the first time last weekend. That pod is 28 feet long and made of aluminum and carbon fiber. It looks like a bus with a beak. The fast bus with a beak, once loaded into a 1,600-foot long concrete tube in the Nevada desert, the pod hit 192 miles per hour in about 5 seconds using an electric propulsion system producing more than 3,000 horsepower. As the pod accelerated through the tube, 11 feet in diameter, the 16 wheels retracted as magnetic levitation took over. Maglev, used by high-speed trains in Japan and elsewhere, reduces drag and the energy required to achieve near supersonic speeds. It helps, too, that Hyperloop One's engineers also pump nearly all of the air out of the tube, reducing air pressure to what you'd experience in an altitude of 200,000 feet. This is the dawn of the age of commercialization for the Hyperloop, says Shervin Pishabar, Hyperloop One's executive chairman and co-founder. It's a big step, to be sure, but one of many in the long journey ahead. The weekend test provided a nice proof of concept, but the challenge is not making the Hyperloop work, but making it practical. For Hyperloop to truly take off, it must operate cheaply enough to lure customers away from air travel or high-speed rail. And then there's the problem of loading people or more likely cargo without running that near vacuum state, designing and building stations, getting an endless list of public agencies and players to agree to build the thing, and so on. All that comes later, and the chief engineer, Josh Geigel, says Hyperloop One is indeed working on cracking those myriad of challenges. No one knows just how Hyperloop will pan out, but at least we know what it sounds like. Creepy.
I'm excited about this because if this happens and it becomes really commercially available and everybody mass transit.
If there is a cheap alternative to go back between Houston and New Orleans, Mike could come home every night.
That's right. We can do that. The same way, imagine that, you know, you're driving a car, going to work, takes an hour or even 30 minutes to work and go back. You go home every time. And if this pans out that you can travel from here to New Orleans and back every day, you can practically do that.
Less than an hour.
Less than an hour. Yeah.
Because New Orleans is what, 300 and something miles?
350 miles, yeah.
Yeah, so that'd be about an hour in the Hyperloop.
Yeah, I'm excited about this because it's a breakthrough. I mean, there is proof of concept, and it's now coming to reality. Yeah. Let's give it about 5 years or so. There's going to be probably some viable way of transporting people and even cargo. It would be fast enough. That would be faster than plane, cheaper.
Airline travel is getting expensive, and I know the airline industry don't want to see this, but if it's safer and faster and cheaper, I'm all fine for being put in a tube and shot through it.
Here's the problem, though. It's the only one so far. I mean, it's the only set of it where there are a lot of planes. And there's a lot of possible friction on the ground. It is floating, but then still, you're still in a tube, in a vacuum tube. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some asshole going to do something about it. Like stick something that would make it not vacuum anymore, things like that.
Oh, I'm sure that stuff's going to be just like when they put rails in across the U.S., but imagine, how long does it take to fly from D.C. to L.A.?
About 4.5 hours.
4.5 hours. What if they could do it in two?
Even better. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know. It's very obvious.
Yeah.
What it's good for, but then let's talk about the ones that it this market will affect. So what's good about it, the people, if there's a viable way, an easy and cheaper way and faster way to travel on a tube, airline prices would go down.
Well, the competition, I mean, that's capitalism. Everybody's like, oh, what about there? Well, you know what? The strong will survive. So, yeah. And you know what? And I'm sure everybody's not going to give up on airplanes. But, I mean, think about it.
Oh, my God. We have friends who are flight attendants.
Flight attendants. But think about it. I mean, if you had this system, you could, in theory, depending on what the cost was, you could live in New Orleans.
Yeah, I understand that.
Every day.
Yeah. I understand. I see all
you can have a job here in Houston and live.
Yeah.
Almost to Dallas somewhere.
Yeah. Your microphone is.
I don't know what's up with my microphone.
It should be pointing to you. There you go. No, it's like this. It should be. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, guys.
Maynard just gave me grief about my microphone.
There you go. See your levels now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I think there's a lot of stuff, but I also think for that daily traveler or somebody that just wants to get away, this would be a lot easier.
Oh yeah,
and stuff to get away with.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I'm sure we'll still have to have the same checks like we do airlines, so somebody don't walk in a tube and blow it up with something. But
oh yeah, definitely.
All those safety things. So
yeah, I mean, the obvious reasons. Yeah, traveling really fast, but it's just that. What are the things that we should be? What markets it will affect?
Yeah. Well, so, Elon Musk already talked that he's verbally got permission to look into putting one from New York to DC.
Yeah. So
it'd be interesting to see how that works. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, because he is the big solar power person, if they do one from California all the way across the South, over the South, all that can be solar powered. Because you can put enough panels on top of the tubes to keep it powered.
Well, they're underground. Hyperloops are underground.
No, they're not. They're in
not all of it?
No, the Hyperloop's above ground. This tube's above ground.
Oh, there are some tubes that are above ground.
It's all above ground.
No.
Yeah. You need to go look.
Hyperloop above ground or below?
Hyperloop. The Hyperloop that they're testing now is tubes elevated above. Everything.
Oh, it's elevated. But
that's right.
Okay.
Everything's elevated in tubes above ground.
I thought it was below ground. So some of it is below
ground.
Well,
there are, it can be below ground, but the cheapest way to build it would be above ground.
Yeah. Oh, it is above.
Because then you're just putting in pylons and attaching pipes to them. I mean, that sounds simple, but you're not having to dig up stuff. Now, in places like D.C. to New York, where it's highly populated and property is very expensive, yes, it might be cheaper to bore
underground
and keep it out of all the other traffic ways and everything like that, so it operates on its own thing and none of that gets interfered with it. So but for the South, it could pretty much be above ground and be solar powered, I think.
Okay,
for the most part. So anyway, what do y'all think? I'm excited about this. I like Elon Musk. I just wish I could afford one of his cars. So, all right, on to the bizarre. Maynard, you're going to take the first bizarre?
All right, do the bizarre. It's about enemas, a cute Japanese character for enemas. It's a short article here. So if there is a product, then a Japanese company probably has a cute character for it. Usually, it doesn't seem to matter what the product is. Case in point, the enema-themed character, Kanchan. Nice. According to Nico Nico News, Ichijiko Pharmaceutical created the character in 2016, designing it after its home enema kits. The character's name, Kanchan, is a pun for the word kanchu, and I don't know what that means. The character is now introducing itself on Twitter and will be going around to different places. Wow, they're marketing their Japanese enemas. So the word kanchu might be familiar to some English speakers because in Japan, it's an infamous childhood prank in which you ram your fingers into an unsuspecting person's backside. Ooh.
No lube.
You like that, Ray? Kanchu.
No lube.
Can't you put your finger in my butt? Uh-huh. Can't you?
So I like, in the article, I attached some of the pictures in our notes, which is kind of funny. One's this Japanese anime cartoon character with holding the bottle in his hand.
It's a pretty cute enema bottle.
Yeah, and then the other one's the big purple bottle that looks like a bird beak, a smiling bird beak on the front of it.
Its name is Ichijiko.
Yeah, I wonder if it shoots water out the top.
Well, that's the point. It's an enema. Oh, the
I'm talking about the character, the stuffed kettle, if he sprinkles you with water.
Probably not, so. Maybe.
All right, now, other bizarre, you know, goes right there. It's there. Talking about asses and putting stuff in asses. What an ass. Arkansas man, 49, is charged with bestiality after getting caught on camera having sex with a family's pet donkey.
Is their pet donkey?
So, an Arkansas man has been charged with bestiality after people say he was recorded on surveillance camera repeatedly having sex with the family's pet donkey. Everett Lee Compton, 49, was arrested and taken into custody after Emmett and Joyce Whitaker called 911 to report that a stranger was on their Asylum Springs property engaging in sexual activity with one of their two female donkeys.
Oh, he's not gay then. He's so female.
Okay. Cops found the suspect hiding in the nearby bushes on July 17th after the pair noticed him in the acts on their cameras. When asked what he was doing at the Whitaker's family property in the 1600 block of Cherry Whitlock Street, Compton initially said that he was just taking a late night stroll and decided to feed the donkey some carrots, according to the rest affidavit cited by the station KHBS. The cop then informed the suspected trespassers that there were surveillance cameras installed on the property and that he was planning to review the footage. That's when Compton admitted to sexual contact with the donkey and blamed the acts on his marijuana habit. Mary Jane made me do it, which he said he had been making him do sick things, no, according to the affidavit.
Liar.
Oh, so you smoke Mary Jane.
No. Okay.
The Whitakers have recently installed game cameras on their land after repeatedly finding evidence that someone had been coming onto their property and harassing the animals at night over the past 3 years, reported the Northwest.
It's been going on for 3 years.
Arkansas Democrat Gazette. On three separate occasions in May, June, and early July, the cameras caught a man believed to be Compton feeding the Whitakers donkeys bread and then covering their eyes with a shirt, standing behind them and pressing his pelvis against the animal's rear, according to the document. Ugh. The family had turned all the photos over to the police and posted no trespassing and no feeding signs on their property. Then around 1:30 a.m. on July 16th, when the Whitakers noticed that someone once again entered the donkey's enclosure, they called the police to come and arrest the suspect. Compton promised the officer to seek professional help if he did not charge him with bestiality, but his pleas fell on deaf ears.
Oh, God, poor guy. Anyway, so yeah, that's what you get from fucking a donkey.
That's an ass, kind of, even though you're giving it to the ass, it's making an ass out of you.
That's right. It's the ass doing it. Well, I guess that's it. Thank you guys for listening. Special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/GigGigBizarre. We have the stories there. Ray would post stuff there. So does Caesar. Thank you, Caesar. Okay, so.
Maynard does that.
Once in a while I do. Sometimes if I.
Rarely
I do. Because I leave that to you because I produce the shows.
Right. Yeah. You hear that, Caesar, don't you?
Okay, so if you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327.
Yes. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Go. You can also catch us on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. There's another site out there that we can put this. I think I have to discover that. Been hearing it from other podcasts. Anyway, so go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you everyone for listening, and we will catch you guys on the next show. Bye.